Coming up in today's episode, SpaceX may have a launch date for the first crewed mission on the Dragon, Model Y deliveries may be starting as you're listening to this right now, and Tesla recalls all the U.S. employees from Giga Berlin because of coronavirus fears. That was a lot of words. Let's get ludicrous. Hey there, and welcome to Our Ludicrous Future. This is the podcast where we talk about all the cool future stuff that's happening right now that will keep us quarantined for 2 weeks. I'm Joe Scott with the Answers with Joe YouTube channel, and with me today is Ben Solens.
What's up, guys? It's Ben Solens from Teslanomics, and we are yet again Timless. He is on the road, it looks like. So, and I believe he's back in his actual car.
Yeah, I think he got his car back.
So that's a good sign. I think he said he was getting the Hardware 3 update, too.
And a new battery.
Maybe they gave him the bigger 100 kilowatt hour battery that we've all heard rumors of. I don't know if we need that.
They gave him the cold gas thrusters too.
Yes. Yeah. The SpaceX package.
He's got the SpaceX Model 3 package.
He could just like text Elon, yo, dog. What if Tim and Elon texting like were just total bros from the 90s? Like, yo, homie, how you doing? You know,
just looking
fantasizing,
fly.
Fantasizing about what that would be like having someone like that in your phone.
So. I am tempted to do a YouTube video that is set in the 80s or like maybe the 90s, like set in the 90s, because I still have an old Super 8 millimeter video camera, like somewhere around here. And I was thinking I could actually record on that and make the video out of it and dress in 90s clothes, maybe like redo all this to have 90s stuff on there. I don't know.
Yeah. You'd have to get like a Walkman and stuff like that.
Make sure the date is like like burned into the screen.
Have your AOL disc in the background.
Right.
Remember I was...
like what YouTube would be like if it was around in the 90s.
Do you listen to Joe Rogan a lot?
Not a lot, but some, yeah.
He had this guy on. I think his name was Adam Cummings or something. I don't know. And he's like the father of podcasting. Have you heard of this guy? He's apparently like the first one to create a podcast. And he even like in the launch of the iPhone or no, the launch of iTunes, Steve Jobs is on stage, pulls up his podcast on iTunes as the first podcast on iTunes, whatever, whatever. And he was talking just a lot about how insane things have transitioned just even in that short period. And one of the things he said that was funny was cable modems. Like we think of cable modems now as like high speed broadband. But the idea originally wasn't that it was higher speed. It was just that it was always connected. Mm-hmm. So you never had to like dial up and take up a phone line. Like it wasn't faster. It just always was there. Uh-huh. And it's like, that was mind blowing tech at the time.
Yeah.
You know, having an always on internet connection.
It's funny you say that because I just read an article the other day about how, I guess, Verizon is the name that's in my head for some reason, but it could have been somebody else. But this major phone company is finally like stopping dial up because there's still millions of people that are on dial up out there.
Right.
And they're kind of like, look, we can't service this anymore. So they're just cutting out that service.
Well, that's like, I think Netflix still sends DVDs out.
Right.
Like you can
I still have one. I've got one sitting next to my TV down there that's just been sitting. I don't even know what it is. It's just been sitting there forever.
Well, and what was the story you told us of like you have the DVD of the movie on your media center. But you're too lazy to go get it, so you're going to buy it from iTunes or whatever.
Done it.
Dude, WALL-E is the best, most accurate science fiction predictor of humanity.
So. Yeah.
Like, we are seriously headed there. Adam Curry was his name, if you guys want to go look that up.
Oh, Adam Curry, yeah.
Adam Curry.
Yeah, he was an old MTV VJ back in the day.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Unless it's a different Adam Curry, but I think it's the same guy.
Probably. Yeah, he somehow was extremely good on radio and created with a buddy of his who was the guy that created RSS feeds, which is basically what a podcast is.
Right.
So when you guys are listening to this, you're using pretty old technology, unless you're on the YouTubes, in which case
You're using pretty old technology.
Yeah, I was going to say 2007.
Until it gets beamed into your head.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. So what do we have going on today, Senor Joe?
Well, why don't we just get the coronavirus stuff out of the way, because, of course, it's going to be a topic of conversation. But I guess you had the story about Tesla recalled their employees.
Yeah, let's jump into that.
Germany.
Now, if somebody wants, they could edit what Joe just said to say, let's all go get the coronavirus and just end it right there.
Let's do it, yeah. let's just go through this population and
There was on Joe Rogan, a guy who's like a specialist in this.
Yeah, I saw
that. That's kind of what he was saying. He was like, you know, I mean, I can't imagine someone painting a more grim picture than what he did. But he said, like, basically it's going so fast that by the time any kind of response is really ready, like a vaccine or something, mm-hmm. the entire population will have had it. So it'll just be future generations that will need it, basically.
Yeah, I've heard that, well, we've all heard a million different things, but it was something like 50% of the population for sure is going to get it at one point or another.
Right.
It doesn't mean it's going to be bad for everybody. And, you know, there's only a small population or small demographic that's going to really suffer from it. But still.
And the silver lining there is that thankfully it's not kids. They said the youngest confirmed fatality was 19-year-olds. Yeah. And there are lots of cases of kids younger getting it, but they haven't had any. Yeah. Serious issues.
He did also talk about the Spanish flu of 1918. Like, everybody's talking about that one because it was the last thing that really, really wiped out a whole bunch of people. Mm-hmm. And I actually covered it in a video a while back, but the thing about that one that was crazy was that it actually affected healthier people worse. Or it was actually harder on healthier people because it created what they call a cytokine storm in your immune system. So if you had a strong immune system, it would actually turn your immune system against the body.
Oh, great.
And so, yeah.
See, diet, exercise, all lies. It's all lies, people. Whiskey and cigars. That's what you need.
So at least we don't have the way. Well, but then they talk about, like, the reason we see these charts of all these different demographics of people, like, you know, 0 to 10, 10 to 20, 20 to 30. And it's always like the 80-year-old plus is like 14 to 20% like death rate. But they were saying that a lot of that came from China, where older people, especially older
smokers,
men, smoke a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Because they said for women who didn't smoke of that same age, it wasn't as bad, right?
Yeah. But that guy on Joe Rogan was saying that the problem in the U.S. is obesity. Like, that's going to be that's what's, causing the immune issues with people over here. But yeah.
The coronavirus is a body shamer as well. Great.
It's not body positivity. It is positively going through your body.
I saw that Tatiana McGrath posted that account. Like, as a vegan, I embrace all living things, and a virus is a living thing. So I, for one, am for the coronavirus.
The first time I started seeing tweets from that account, I was like, is this real?
Yeah.
Because it wouldn't surprise me if it was real.
I know. That's why it's funny, right? Anyways, okay, so Tesla withdraws U.S. employees working on Gigafactory Berlin over coronavirus concerns. And so there were some statements here that now the California-based electric car maker has ordered its German team back to the United States. Around 30 Americans who are currently working in Berlin are on their way back, according to information from Automobile Walkie.
Is that near Milwaukee?
I think so. There was an old comedian that said that. He's like, you know, we got this deficit. We got this thing. Why don't we just, like, sell North Dakota to Germany or something? You know, so you're just, like, driving along the U.S. and now you're in Germany. It would pay for a lot of stuff. And who would really miss it? You know?
The five people in North Dakota take offense to that.
Right. So Automobile Walkie. Near Milwaukee, is a large part of all employees. The background is that the spread of the coronavirus in Germany is leading to this. So Tesla folks coming home, Senor Trump is doing a travel ban on Europe.
Yeah, I think that started yesterday.
Yeah, like
as of when we're recording this. Yeah,
sure. Right, this stuff is just happening so fast.
Yeah.
Now I understand that the Gigafactory in Berlin is they have cleared the trees, and this was a big point of contention for local environmentalists and stuff like that. And then, you know, I've talked to people that work in the German auto industry in Germany, and they all kind of had a raised eyebrow as to why Tesla wanted to build up in Berlin, because a lot of the manufacturing stuff is on the other side of the country. So I think there's a interesting or kind of, I don't know, there's probably more reason to this than just like it's close to a big city or something. So apparently, you know, things are going to be slowing down there, as they are with basically every company and industry and everyone. Yeah. YouTube is the only thing that's still cruising. Now, if you post a video not about coronavirus, let me just tell you, it's not going to do well. So for the other YouTubers listening, just hold off and let's get through this.
The good thing about being a YouTuber is that you just kind of sit around your home and, well, I guess depending on what kind of YouTuber you are, if you're a travel YouTuber, then obviously that would be a problem.
Now you're doing videos like, I got the whole plane to myself. Yeah, but it's kind of nuts. I mean, Seattle, I know, banned conferences or gatherings of 250 people or more, which, does that go against the Constitution? Because isn't there a thing of like a right,
right to assemble?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I mean, I'm not saying it's wrong. But
it's like,
I'm
look,
just saying,
if you want to assemble and get sick, yeah, fine. But there is like that herd immunity thing, you know, when you don't have a vaccine yet, you kind of have to collectively do the things to keep it from spreading. There's a graph that's been making the rounds. I'm sure anybody listening to this has seen it, but it's showing that a lot of people focus on the death rate. The death rate actually isn't the big problem. The problem is if it overwhelms the healthcare system. Like, there's only so many hospital beds out there, and that's what's going on in Italy. Is they're basically now just deciding, we can only treat so many people, so this guy didn't have a chance. Sorry, just go back to your house and die. I mean, that's probably not the way they're saying it, but like they're having to sort of triage. You know?
I wonder if you could do more of a mobile service, you know, and that would be more, because if essentially real estate is the bottleneck. I guess I assume providers like nurses and stuff are as well, but because who knows what is real, what's not in times like these, but. My understanding is there's not much you can do to treat this. So it's basically just here's some Tylenol, here's some ibuprofen, whatever. Like, make you comfortable, help, yeah, you know, with the symptoms, but you're not going to – it just has to run its course. What if, you know, you had people delivering those kind of things? I don't know. Would that be helpful? It's then, hey, stay at home, but we'll give you the basically same treatment and same meds that you would get in there.
Yeah. I mean, if you have a mild case, sure. But when it gets to the severe hospitalization, that's where you have to be put on a breathing tube kind of thing. Because your lungs just aren't handling it anymore. So obviously that's not something you can just, yeah, it's not a one-time treatment kind of thing.
Yeah, it's so insane, too. I have a friend that he got into a motorcycle accident just a few weeks ago, and he was on a whole system collapsed lung breathing thing, and I went into the hospital to visit him, and I kind of, you know, just saw how all that stuff works. And yeah, it's a lot of equipment and things that go into all those machines and all those devices. So
yeah,
stay safe out there, people. What was the takeaway? Like, what could you do?
Well, so, okay, I am working on a coronavirus video. I'll go ahead and spoil that. I've had just a million people ask for a video on it, and I never wanted, I kept putting it off because it changes every day. It's like, by the time I get this video out, it'll be completely outdated, you know? So,
right. You need live news.
Right. Yeah. So that's why I hesitated to do it for so long. But anyway, I'm working on it now. I'm still like in the middle of the research and whatnot. I'm actually interviewing a guy tomorrow who wrote a book on pandemics so that I have some kind of expert that I've talked to about it. Like here in Dallas, they do a St. Patrick's Day parade every year, which is going to be this Saturday. They canceled that. First time they canceled it in 41 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Debauchery usually takes precedence over anything. But
if you drink enough alcohol, it'll just sanitize everything.
Right.
Okay. My family, you know, from Texas, we had the wild turkey method of getting over sickness, where you just drink enough wild turkey, which is an extremely high alcohol whiskey for people that don't know.
for the non-alcoholics out there.
Well, maybe wild turkey hasn't made it to every part of the world that we're streaming to. You drink wild turkey until you pass out, and then you wake up, have some orange juice, have some water, see how you're feeling. You still sick? Drink wild turkey till you pass out. And just keep repeat, rinse and repeat.
It's just NyQuil, basically.
It just puts you to sleep.
Knock you out. Yeah. Wasn't there a Saturday Night Live parody commercial a while back for it was like some kind of extra NyQuil, flu quill, basically put you into a coma for the entire flu season?
There you go.
It was like, you know how NyQuil comes with like the little cap and you serve it in the cap and you drink it? It was like this cap that was like this big around. And Chris Farley's like drinking it, and then he wakes up with this big beard. He slept through the whole thing.
It's like the I'm only gonna have one glass of wine a night, and they have the glass which fits in an entire bottle.
Right.
Oh man, well, do what you can, people. Try to avoid making out with random people on the street. That's probably
for
not
once
a good...
in your life, avoid doing that.
Please, you know,
I was saying to my wife earlier, there's never been a better time in history to have to stay in your home for 2 weeks straight. I mean, you can watch any movie in the world that you want. You know, you can get food delivered to your door and everything. Like,
Well,
and that's just my life. So
that's the weird thing. Yeah. You're like the introverts. When?
I've been planning my whole life for this.
That's kind of the weird thing I saw about, I guess, people in Seattle raiding toilet paper at Costco, which I don't understand fully. I really don't get this, because if you go to Costco and you buy a thing of toilet paper, I mean, I've got four people in my house. That'll last us like 6 months, okay? Like how important? Like, I don't get it. I don't know. This is where the robots need to be delivering things to our house and all that. Because,
I don't get the toilet paper thing. I mean, food. Beans, rice, that kind of thing, sure, you know.
Uh-huh. Right. Toilet paper doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I don't know.
How much do you really need? And I use a lot, so. Anyways, speaking of deliveries of things.
Well
we've
done.
Got the,
well done.
The Modelo Y, or Model Y, for those that don't speak
Griega?
Spanish.
Griega? Y. Griega? Mm-hmm. That's a Spanish word for Y?
It's the letter Y, yep.
Oh, okay.
X is X, Y, and Zeta. So, or Theta.
That's far too many syllables.
I know.
It's like izquierda for left,
izquierda.
Right? Yeah. Derecho, izquierda.
Derecho. Now,
I'm pointing right.
Yeah. Derecho means right, which this is something that always confused me about. This is... Spanish tangent. You're going to have to
Spanish
wait for the
tangent.
Model Y news, okay?
Tangento.
Tangento, yeah. It's really interesting when Spanish words not just have the same, when they translate to something in English, but then the second meaning of that word also is the same. I always was fascinated by that.
Hmm.
So like in English we have, this is my right hand, I'm going to turn right. Mm-hmm. Also, I have rights as a citizen. Those all the derecho means all those same things as well in Spanish. So you'll see at the bottom of like a website or something like todos derechos reservados, like all rights reserved.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm reading it going, oh, derechos, like it really means the same thing. Like it's always fascinating to me. Like, wait a minute, because how is it that the same word happened to mean? It just seems like a weird coincidence. So
languages just kind of interbreed, and
it's fascinating. Is that called? Is it called etymology or something? Like the study of language, how it...
Oh. I will draw a blank on that one right now.
All right. Not drawing a blank are Model Y reservation holders. And reportedly from our friends at the Tesla Roddies, Tesla Model Y customers confirm delivery dates for this Friday, March 13th. Friday the 13th. What a lucky day. And if you're listening to this, that's and you're not one of our patrons listening live in Discord, that this probably is Friday, March 13th when you're listening to it. So, hallelujah. That's awesome. So somebody posted on some things, some Facebook groups, which I always, you know, I'm skeptical when it's like there was a thing recently about somebody on Reddit that said, oh, I got confirmation delivery this Wednesday. And then, boom, article goes up. You click on the guy's thing on Reddit, account deleted. You're like, oh, okay. So I wouldn't be shocked if employees are getting them or maybe have already got them delivered. But here we are, 10 a.m. this Friday for someone that posted in the Model Y. This is West Coast deliveries, but also people in Canada are receiving confirmation. So there's lots of photos out there of hundreds of Model Ys on trucks making their way down to the SoCals. Interestingly enough, most of the units here were the performance variants with these Ubertine wheels, which
Uber Turbine?
Uber Turbine? Turperna. I don't know how you say it. How do you say that?
You kind of went into a Swedish chef mode for a second there.
Herp-a-derp. So if you look at the okay, so if I'm on the Model Y order page, you have these 20-inch induction wheels. Mm. Pretty sweet. I actually
yeah,
really
I like
these. And then if you go performance, then you can add a performance upgrade. And see, and then that's where these Uber Turbine. Or actually, it has an umlaut, so wouldn't that be yeah. Uber?
Ah, I never know what that means.
Because oo is just the normal sound of a U. U, I don't know, man. Our language is weird. English is such a, like, how are there never accents over letters except for randomly like this? And it basically just confuses the hell out of all of us. Anyways.
I'm actually glad because I never can figure out how to put those on there when I have to put them on a computer.
Yeah.
Tildes and whatnot.
The only ones I do are when I'm typing in Spanish right. Because they do mean...
It can change the meaning of the word.
So if you look up Ano, A-N-O, like Feliz Ano, is not the same as Feliz Año, which is has an Ñ. Mm-hmm. And if you guys go translate that, you'll have a quick laugh. So there you go. I'll not do that. I'll save you.
I translated it in my head.
Yeah. So if you add the performance upgrade here, which is, what does it add, $2,000? Wait. How is it not changing the price? Okay.
Hmm.
So you can
Maybe
add a performance.
No?
That's really strange. It used to be, I thought this was an additional $2,000. Oh, maybe because I already clicked on the other. Oh, there we go. Wait. I don't know. What is going on, Tesla? Let me guess. They're changing the price yet again. And someone's going to yell at me because my calculator isn't updated. It's like they change it every day. I can't be uh-huh. bothered. So those wheels kind of look like those other ones, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
They're just bigger. 21-inch wheels, man. I would not do this. I guess for the performance person that doesn't care about range, because look, you go from 315 miles, which it says is an EPA estimate, so hopefully that's more real, to 280 miles. That's a pretty big hit.
Hmm.
But I guess if you're getting the performance car, you're not getting it for utility. Your focus isn't like long range driving or anything, so. So anyways, if you're curious about trying to get yours early and you have an extra, I don't know, $9,000 or whatever it costs for the upgrade there, that may be a good tip for you. So looks like I'm going to be doing some push-ups here pretty soon as well.
Mm-hmm.
Still hasn't happened yet, but I hope it happens and I hope I have to do push-ups.
So it's 100, right?
Yep.
And you do like 150 on a normal day, so you're actually going to... Yeah. Slack.
I'm gonna scale it back.
Okay.
Yep. I remember when I was working at this online education company, we had to fill out a form for some health thing about like our daily routines, blah blah blah. And at the time, I was super into CrossFit and like just crushing it, you know. And it was like, how many How many days a week do you exercise? I'm like, six. And it's like, oh, okay, well, how far do you run during those times? I'm like, probably 3 to 5 miles every time. And then, okay, our recommendations are to walk, go for, 2 mile walks 3 days a week. I'm like, so you want me to scale back by like a huge amount? And I emailed them. I'm like, this is the dumbest thing ever. And they're like, oh, sorry. I'm like, your thing says artificial intelligence machine learning. And you basically have like an if then else statement. And I bet it like 90% of the people just recommends the same crap.
Yeah.
Marketing. So Model Y is happening.
You broke the system with your biceps.
I know. Or like, you know, the idea is everyone always wants to lose weight. Unless you're like really, really thin and can't put on weight, then you don't want to lose weight. So what does your system say about that, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
More
we
burgers.
We need smarter things. Oh, speaking my language. So you're not getting a Model Y, right? I think Tim is.
Nah.
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah.
I mean, nah. I can see why Tim wants one, though, because he travels a lot and he has a lot of equipment and all that. You know, that makes sense.
Makes a lot of sense, yeah.
I'm more the kind of person that buys a car and just kind of keeps it for a long time, you know. Unless something goes wrong or it's not meeting my needs anymore or something, you know.
Right. But. Yeah, I think we're going to – the plan currently is to sell the X and then have the Y, and then I'll drive the Model 3 as a daily driver, and Jenny will have the Model Y as her kind of forever car, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I always say that, and then like a year later, I'm like, yeah, let's get a new one. I really am looking at and would love a Model S, though, eventually. But I'm not going to, like, go buy a newer Model 3 or something like that than mine. Like, I don't see the benefit at all.
Is she getting excited about the Y? Having a forever car?
No.
No?
No. No, she doesn't care. She hates the Model X, absolutely hates it. And so the only this will be a better than the Model X for her when she has to drive it. Mm-hmm. But she doesn't care. She's just not a car person. She's like a very normal person that's like, oh, it's a car, you know?
Yeah.
And the fact that it's so similar to the Model 3, it'll just be like slightly better than the Model 3 to her. So mm-hmm. she's like, okay, you know? It's funny, like in this niche, in this community of people that really, really dig deep, there's probably people that are like just fanatical about, oh, it has the, you know, flex circuit this and the dry electrode batteries that and all this super detailed stuff. But to the average consumer, nobody cares.
Right.
Nobody really – it's like the Steve Jobs thing, right? Like no one cares how many gigabytes your iPod can have. They just want to know how many songs it can store. Mm-hmm. That's all that matters. So I think there's a lot of that when we get into these things, right? Like I love geeking out on that stuff, but I don't really talk about it on my videos because – generally, I'm trying to show the world and tell people about, look how awesome these cars are. And I'm going to lose everybody if I go off in some tangent about, you know, why this battery technology is better. Because to the general population, they do not care. All they want to know is, does it work? Right. Mm-hmm. And is it better and whatever? So.
Will it get me there?
Yeah. So I would say, you know, Jenny's very much in that camp of like, okay. Oh, so it has basically the same range. Okay. It looks basically the same on the inside and, you know, drives very similarly. Okay. How about but it has an automatic trunk and hatchback. Okay, that's good. Like, those are things you would be, you know, excited about. Everything else is like, don't care. So.
Yeah. And I think that's true. I think most people are like that.
Yeah.
As long as it fits their needs and doesn't leave them stranded on the side of the road, they're good.
Yeah. So speaking of fitting needs... Sounds like SpaceX is going to be sending some people up.
That did not work at all. I was trying to find a good transition myself and failed. So it's not. It's. I'm not putting that on you.
Okay. Hit me with it.
So we've been following SpaceX for a while with their. Hang on. Is this the right? I'm so bad at pulling things up. Why do I even do this? Okay. So SpaceX has been testing out the Crew Dragon. And we've been following that for a while. And is this showing my entire screen?
Yeah.
I suck at this.
I see Audition. If you guys are wondering what we record with, right. Adobe Audition, not sponsored.
That's interesting to you.
Holler at us, Adobe.
There we go. So Gwynne Shotwell, El Presidente of SpaceX, an awesome human being, she announced, I don't know how casually this was, but they were at, what is it, the 2020 satellite conference in Washington, D.C. just this last week, said that they're gunning for May for the first crewed Dragon mission for the Dragon 2. So this is actually Demo 2, I believe. Demo 1 was the first one that they did that kind of went up and docked with the space station, came back down flawlessly, I might add. But this is Demo 2, so this is going to take Bob Baiman and Doug Hurley. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Or B&D, yes. As I like to call them.
Who, by the way, are like really good friends. They were in each other's weddings and everything, and they're going to... go up and do this together. It's kind of cool. But anyway, no, we've been following it. We've been kind of trying to, there's been this horse race this whole time between them and Boeing and the Dreamliner and everything. Boeing hit some setbacks when they launched last month or so. And now here we are, Tesla. SpaceX seems to have, a time. They're looking at May.
Nice.
So Elon was there for this thing too at Satellite 2020. He said that they put the Crew Dragon through a staggering amount of testing in preparation.
Well, that's coming from a guy that, like, I mean, when it comes to getting things done, he's like, faster is better.
Yeah.
It's probably, I bet if you asked like a real seasoned veteran that worked on the space shuttle or something, they'd be like, it's like a normal amount.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. For him, you know, it's, I mean, like, we had to actually like test things.
That's what I mean. It's like, how could they like, he's, you know, all up in arms about it, and yeah. Everyone else is like, dude, this is the least amount we've ever done.
Could you imagine though if something went wrong with people on board? I mean, of course they were testing the hell out of it. And I know that the way they launched, what they call it, load and go, so they'll actually, the astronauts will be in the capsule on the pad as they're loading fuel onto it, which is, unless I'm wrong, has never been done before. And I, really? I know that was a bit of a hang up for a while. I'm guessing that's been cleared up. And they've got the,
wasn't
go for
that what doomed Apollo 1?
No. They actually, they never even got up on the launch pad. I don't believe they were just doing like a test on.
Oh,
there.
That was just, it wasn't even the real capsule, right?
Well, it was the real capsule, but they were just doing like a test, and they were just in there testing things out, and spark happened, pure oxygen environment. And there was something in the door that it didn't open up because of the air pressure in there when the fire started. So.
Isn't there, yeah. And what percentage of, like we don't breathe pure oxygen, but it's a large percent nitrogen, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like 79%. Nitrogen.
Isn't that nuts? So when we say we breathe oxygen, how like the oxygen lobby won, right? if what we're breathing is 78% nitrogen, yeah. I feel like the correct way to say it would be we breathe nitrogen.
Well, we breathe everything. It's right. Just the percentage of it that's oxygen is about 20%, I think, something like that, 15 or 20%.
Right. But if we're like, hey, let's look at the Mars atmosphere, can we breathe it? The thing we should be interested in is nitrogen.
So it's funny you say that, because somebody did ask me on Twitter, and I don't think I ever responded to them, so sorry, dude. But he was basically making the point that, like, when we go to Mars, we can make oxygen from the CO2 that's in the atmosphere. It's like 95% CO2, but it's only 1% the air pressure, so it's not as much. But the question was, are we going to just pressurize all of the environments in Mars with pure oxygen, or what else is going to be in there? And and if we do, want to emulate the same thing here on Earth, there would be a whole lot of nitrogen we would have to take up there, and there's not any nitrogen, as far as I'm aware, on Mars. So where's that going to come from? And I was like, that's actually a good question. I can't imagine that they would pump up nitrogen. They would probably just do like do you read Artemis? The Andy Weir book?
Yeah.
So he talks about on that one that they actually, it's a pure oxygen environment, but it's very low pressure. Mm-hmm. So, and it talks about different issues that come up because of that. So I'm imagining it might be something like that on Mars.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting question.
Yeah, right. Because, I mean, there are so many things that are just given our, like, common knowledge, I guess. But when you look into it, everything, there's so much more nuance mm-hmm. to anything you think you know.
Yeah.
But some of those things are really, like that one. Like, when you find out 80% of what you breathe is not oxygen, how is it that that's what we say we breathe? Like, who won that debate? Like, how did... I don't know. You know,
that's the part that matters, I guess.
Or the plants breathe in CO2 and breathe out oxygen, mm-hmm. which is then what we live on. But it turns out it's actually the dendrites or whatever, bacteria, algae kind of things in the ocean that actually account for 90% of the oxygen in our atmosphere.
Yeah.
So the rainforest, for example, has very little to do with any of that. And you,
it's
and
still
you look
bad
at
to
it,
lose
you go,
it. But
no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, like, how is it that our common knowledge is like, oh, plants are good, they do this. When you look at the data behind it, you go, actually, like, it's this whole other thing that
it's the algae,
you just don't talk. Yeah, I don't know. Like, where does our knowledge come from? How does it get passed down?
That's why I do what I do.
That's it. This is why I love your channel so much.
I find the stuff that's out there that we think. I talk derp, good. Derp. That's why I do.
I talk good and stuff. How about that?
Having one of those days. Sorry.
Well, you know, that's. I've thought about wanting to do a second channel to look at these things more, because I just think, you know, it's just something I'm always interested in, is looking at the numbers behind things and going, what?
Yeah.
I think if I did, I'd probably call it like data points or something.
Yeah.
And have it be, you know, same kind of thing I do for Teslanomics, but just exploring other things, mm-hmm. you know, like coronavirus obviously would be a good one to look at and do, but
yeah,
too late. For me on that. So,
well, there's the whole Dunning-Kruger effect thing. And,
right.
And I'll probably talk about this in my second channel at some point. But, you know, the less you know about something, the more confident you are in what you think you know. And then the more you dive into it, your confidence level drops precipitously, because
yeah.
suddenly you realize, oh, there's all this other information out there about this that I didn't know about. That's kind of where I live all the time, like that dip on the way down, because like every time I dig into any topic, I'm just like, oh wow, there's so much more to this than I ever thought. And sometimes it's fascinating. I've got a video coming up on airships. I'm kind of teasing that a little bit, that like once I looked into it, like blimps and zeppelins and stuff, it's fascinating topic.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to spoil anything, but it was just like mind blowing every time I turned around. But yeah, I just live in this constant state of, wow, I just barely know anything about this. And that's why I've gotten to where I've become more reliant on experts over time than, you know, a lot of the conspiratorial minded people would be like, oh, you have to do your own research and stuff. And I'm just like, there are people out there dedicating their entire lives to this that know more than
right.
you will ever know.
Right.
Maybe we should listen to them, you know? Mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. that's only because
yeah.
I'm always in that place of, wow, I don't know hardly anything about this. And
you don't know what you don't know.
Right. Yeah, exactly. The unknown unknowns.
To quote Rumsfeld.
Rumsfeld, yeah.
Great. Yeah.
You got the known knowns and the unknown knowns and the
yeah.
known unknowns and the unknown unknowns.
Yeah, maybe I'll think about doing that, because I think that's like, you know, obviously the sustainability stuff is great, and I love that what I do on Teslanomics helps the environment, mm-hmm. you know, directly or indirectly. And but I would love just to have this extra like curiosity, like, hey, why is it, you know, that you know, and I think you do it, like it would be kind of similar in the sense of like I could explore anything out there. You know, you do it with humor and bringing it back down to earth and all those kind of things. I would do it from, let's like just look at the data and the numbers mm-hmm. behind it. And so every video would be like really heavy on that. So
yeah.
I don't know. If I, you know, find myself with an extra 70 hours a week, maybe I'll consider that, you know?
Yeah. That Yeah, it's a lot more work than, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's, that reminds me of something I saw at CES. Why? I don't know. But it does. And that was
speaking of nothing.
Speaking of Fiat, they are apparently, okay, so I saw this thing at CES. It's a, I don't think it's the Fiat 500e, but this is the thing here. It's, what is it called? I don't know if it has a name. It's a concept car by Fiat that they demoed or unveiled at CES, and obviously it's a concept car because it looks ridiculous, but the technology in here, besides the cool suicide doors that you see, the technology in here is right underneath this seat. If you guys are just listening, imagine Model X captain's chairs, and underneath them is like a little compartment where a battery will go. And so their technology here was make an electric mini. This is actually quite a bit bigger than the regular Fiat you know, go-kart that you're used to seeing out there. And I know Fiat's a big company. They have lots of cars. Here in the U.S., we basically have one. And so this one is more of like a Mini Cooper size car. And the idea is you could actually have several of these batteries. Like, imagine you just go home, one's charging, you pop in the new one, and off you go. Kind of like what Tesla wanted to do with the interchangeable battery packs a while ago. But this would be something that was a, just a lot more, I don't know, a lot more consumer friendly versus like the insanity of replacing a battery pack in a Tesla. And so apparently this is like coming, this is like a real thing. So they're investing in this platform. The idea is that I'm reading from their thing now. The extra batteries are installed underneath the floor of the car by the service network. A sliding rail which supports and connects the batteries makes their installation or removal particularly quick and easy. An additional battery for mounting under the seat is also available. It can be disconnected, put on a charge directly in the user's home or garage, just like the battery of a modern e-bike. So,
did you cover this?
Maybe bringing it
in a video.
I think I talked about it in my CES EVs that I found,
because I did see this in some video. Mm-hmm. With the slide out batteries thing, I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, and so this is a thing where, you know, the idea is that the affordable base model would have 125 miles of range. And then, as needed, you can drop in more batteries to get up to 300 miles. Or, you know, just keep those extra packs at home and kind of charge them there. I mean, regardless of whether or not this car becomes a real thing or whatever, this technology, I think, should come. Like, I would really like to see this, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Because, and the only problem I see with it is that, I mean, having actually held modules from Teslas, they're just heavy as sin.
Mm-hmm.
They are really heavy and big. So it's not, you know, something, if lifting up groceries is tough for you, lifting up 150-pound, let's say, battery module is not going to be, or maybe they make them smaller and they just stack together so it's like a bunch of 10-pound ones or something. I don't know.
Maybe.
Like, I think that one of the technical challenges here will be the packaging and that part of it. Not necessarily can you stick a battery in there and have it work, mm-hmm. you know? But how cool would that be if down the road, like what if this is the answer to the BMWs of the world and Mercedes that have a hard time making long range batteries. You know, what if it was like, oh yeah, I need an extra 50 miles. Just pop that in and there you go.
Yeah.
And then, hey, 10 years from now, we got a new battery cell that's lighter and more energy dense. Boom. Now that 50 miles is 150 miles. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you don't have to buy a new car. Like, I really like this idea of the interchangeable stuff.
Yeah. I mean, when I talked to, the guy over at Lithium Works at, Fully Charged, he was talking about theirs was a lithium iron phosphate, so it didn't have any cobalt right. in it, but they were modular, so they were made to just like and combine them to get more power out of them. So I mean, I know it can be done to do it like that, to make them, you know, kind of easy to slide in and out, but
well, this is how I have friends that worked at not manufacturing facilities but like shipping plants, and they have forklifts. And forklifts, because you're indoors, it makes sense for them to be electric.
Yeah.
And the way it works is they just have batteries on a wall, And when you get in and hop in your forklift, you go grab a battery, throw it in, and off you go. Mm-hmm. And then you take the other one out and put it back on there to charge for the next guy. So, yeah, this isn't, like, unheard of or, you know, this isn't some, like, groundbreaking tech we need.
Yeah. I mean, it's a cool idea that, like, you might just kind of go pick those up and put them in for a long trip. And otherwise, you might have 150 miles or whatever, and that's all you really need to get around town. But going to go see grandma. Okay, well, go pop the battery in. You're on your way.
That's actually, I didn't even think about that. So it could just be a, rental of the added battery capacity or whatever.
Yeah.
Sorry if you guys hear drilling going on in the background. We've got.
Well, I heard something, but I thought it was outside of my house. By the way, I wanted to say I saw your video yesterday on whether Teslas will kill the grid. I liked it. It was good. It blows my mind that there's that much extra solar energy that's being. What was the word you used? Where it's like we can't use it right now, so
curtailment.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, well, and I left then the number in there, the 95 gigawatt hours. Mm-hmm. That's an older number. We have newer numbers, and the newer numbers are looking of 223 gigawatt hours. Now there was somebody that pointed out a mistake I made in that math. Those numbers I had were per month, and the amount of energy needed was per day. So there definitely was a disconnect a little bit there. So anyways, it was a fun thought experiment.
Uh-huh.
And exploring it, you know, like the idea would be in 20 years when actually all cars are electric, we would have a gazillion more gigawatt hours of solar energy anyways. But I appreciate that. Yeah that was one where I'm working, you know, taking a lead from you. I have a writer now that is helping me research things. So, you know, the Model 3 review of a thing, I don't need any help on that.
Right.
But this was one where, like, I wanted to dig deeper, and I didn't have the time to spend digging up all these articles. So she and she's been helping with in the EV industry for a long time. Mm. So it was actually really cool to see that. And that's where I was like, I don't have high expectations for this video in terms of views and all that. But this is where, you know, when, like, I started doing sponsors, and this helps. Like, that's the outcome of that is, like, oh, now I can afford a person to help make these awesome videos that I know aren't going to do well.
Right.
Right. So, yeah. So thank you. I appreciate that.
Because
was one where I was like, it's a bit of a gamble, but it's just something I wanted to do. So,
well, you figured out the trick.
Yeah.
Put an arrow in the thumbnail.
It's not helping today's video, which is doing absolute nothing. but I think that's maybe the coronavirus news and all that kind of stuff.
Well,
kind of eating.
For those who give a crap about YouTube stuff, I went down to one video a week. I've been doing two.
Oh, you did?
Starting this month. I've only.
Congratulations.
I have been in growth mode for so long, and like checking my analytics every morning to make sure that, you know, everything's still on the up and up and everything. And of course, ever since I went down to one video a week, it's just been, it's like stock market.
Really?
Yeah. Which is okay. I'm at a place now where I don't have to constantly be freaking out about it, but I've been freaking out about it for so long. I kind of don't know how to stop. And it's been like this weird head trip that I've been going through lately, is trying to just kind of be okay with the fact that the views are going down a little bit and the algorithm's probably going to have to adjust a little because it's used to me doing two and now I'm only doing one, and maybe it'll pick back up again. But it's like so hard to keep myself from like, no, I got to throw something up on Thursday or else everything's going to fall apart.
Yeah.
So it's been psychological.
It is, man. This whole thing is a really bizarre, weird thing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's why, you know, like people that are like there's so much focus on like viral growth and this and that and whatever, and it's like really, really unhealthy to try to chase that dragon. You know, it's not a thing that you can ever really attain, and even when you do, now you're hosed because that's all you can do then. You know, you look at these guys like the Mark Robers of the world who legit crush it, absolutely, like Mr. Beast. But if they do a video and it doesn't do it, like, oh my God, like the world is really ending for them, you know?
Yeah.
My focus when I think about content strategy and making videos is always just base hits. I just want a base hit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how you score runs. You get on base. And so I don't care. Like if a video does above average, like, woo, you know,
yeah.
Video does the below average, it's like, ah, but really I'm just trying to always have like a consistent level of engagement and all that. And the way to do that, I think, is just paying attention to what people want and doing more of it, mm-hmm. you know?
Well, I'm at this place now, like, again, sort of trying to reframe how I'm thinking about it. I'm trying to allow myself to just kind of free up and be like, you know what, why don't you just focus on doing creative stuff that's fun?
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to like, I mean, sometimes to put out 8 videos or more in a month, it's kind of like, I don't really care about this topic, but it might do well. So whatever, let's just throw it together, you know? Whereas now it's like, I'm only doing 4 or 5 a month, so I can be more choosy. I can pick topics that I'm more interested in and that I think are more interesting. And I think the videos are better a little bit.
For sure. I mean, that's what matters. Yeah. And for you, you know, I've not seen you do, other than maybe this coronavirus video, but I've not seen you do a lot of like, you know, timely,
topical,
like it has,
yeah
topical stuff. So you have that, and you've obviously been successful at it. So I think, you know, you know, for me, it's very much like the topical, like the timely relevance of something, I think plays a huge factor in whether or not my videos do well. So, but it's funny, I was talking to that guy, Supersaf. Do you know him?
Don't know him, no.
He's a tech YouTuber from the UK. Super cool guy. Every time we meet up, always have a good time just talking to him. And me and him had this little conversation. I'm like, man, are you ever jealous of people like Casey Neistat or Peter McKinnon or somebody that can just do a video on anything they want? Like, mm-hmm. my kid got a haircut. Boom, millions of views. And you're just like, God, like that's it. You know, and he said, actually, no, because they are forced to come up with these things. Whereas in his world as a tech YouTuber, you know there's going to be 20 phones announced. There's going to be TVs announced. Like, you know, these companies and the news cycle itself just tells you what to do, basically. So you do your job, you bring your perspective, you know, add in what you add in and make it your special thing. But you don't really have to worry about, you know, whether or not something's going to be interesting, because it's generally interesting already.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's kind of like freedom. You know, it's a gift and a curse. Because then if you go do some random video about your kid getting a haircut, nobody's going to care. And they're going to be like, what the hell are you doing? You know, so. Mm-hmm.
See, like, and so I kind of go the opposite way. Is I'm like, I love finding topics. Like I mentioned the airship one earlier. Somebody suggested it and I was like, yeah, I'll look into it. And then the more I started researching, I was like, this is crazy. Like, I kind of can't wait to put it out, because there's some little wow facts in there that are just going to make everybody just crap themselves. It's crazy. But and there's some new technologies that might actually be bringing it back for cargo as opposed to passenger stuff.
Yeah, I'm fascinated about this, because I remember reading some articles or something about how that stuff happened back in the day, and it seems insane. Yeah.
Well, anyway, the fact that I can just find topics like that get my juices going and make me mm-hmm. think, wow, this is really cool, and it kind of opens me up to things that I never really thought about before. That's part of the journey for me too. Yeah,
that's what makes it so fun, man. So is that what? So next week you have a coronavirus video?
No, I'm still working on that. I'm interviewing a guy tomorrow, so it will probably be like the Monday after this coming Monday. Are we talking about what we're working on now? Is that where we are?
Yeah, that's where we're at. Well, Tim's not here to give us the rant about some space topics, so you know.
I covered SpaceX a little bit anyway. Next week's video is going to be a little bit of a list video. It's going to be 5 great ideas that turned out horribly, or that went horribly wrong. That's what it is. Five great ideas that went horribly wrong.
Yes, I love it. Like five things that could, you know, end the universe as we know it tomorrow. It's like, great.
Have I done that one before? I think I have done that one. It's like five.
Really?
Five, don't know if it was five, but it was like, yeah, a list of things that, like, gamma ray bursts and vacuum decay, things that could just erase the universe in the blink of an eye.
Tommy Lee Jones out at Neptune playing with some little reactor. Ad Astra.
Still haven't seen it. Oh, he's in Neptune? Yeah. They're in Neptune in that movie? Dude, okay, I guess I need to watch it. All right.
Did you see Neil deGrasse Tyson tweeting about it?
No.
Neil deGrasse Tyson needs a show called Neil Ruins Movies.
Yeah.
Because he is very good at it.
I think that's just like what his Twitter account is called.
Like the whole space. Yeah, exactly. That's what it is. The whole space pirates thing. He just lost it on this whole space pirates idea. You know? Yeah.
What are you working on?
Well, in theory, Model Y stuff. I do have a Model Y accessories video, basically for, which this was weird. Did you ever post on the community tab in YouTube? Like, it's kind of like a wannabe Twitter for YouTube.
Okay. Only if like a video is running late a particular day or something, I'll put it out there.
It's going to
be like, hey guys, it's running late, but it's on the way kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I posted, I'm just pulling it up right now to see.
I could use it more. I just haven't.
I posted 4 days ago, Model Y delivery starting soon. Who's interested in a video breaking down what I recommend you buy or use once you get it? It got 1,400 likes. That's for, and normally I get like maybe 300 or 400 likes on a thing on the, so I was like, oh crap. So this is like a thing. So I've got that video shot and it's currently being edited. But then hopefully I've got a couple leads on people getting their Model Ys delivered. And so hopefully by the time, you know, soon after this airs, you'll have a first impressions video. And I want to do a Model X versus Model Y video.
Yeah.
Kind of like a side-by-side looking at the functions of them, you know, that kind of a thing. Throw some surfboards in there, see how they fit.
You could probably do a Model 3 and Model Y one too.
So one of my friends is planning on doing that one. And so we're going to kind of, he's going to do that one. I'm going to do this one, which is funny because he had a Model X for a few years and I had a Model 3 for a few years. So he just got his Model 3 and I kind of just got my Model X. So it's like the perfect yin and yang videos.
That's funny.
So anyway, so he's going to do that one. That one will probably be more popular, but we're going to kind of collab on that one and share. So hopefully we'll, hopefully that'll be coming soon and, it'll be just, you know, all out blitz on Model Y videos for like probably the next 5 weeks.
Yeah. It's going to eat everything up.
How do you think about that though? Like, you know, when Cybertruck came out, I think I put 3 videos up in a week and they all did very well. They all did extremely well, but I don't know. Like, would you do that? Would you publish just let's say Model Y delivered today. And you could snap your fingers and you had 5 videos ready to publish. Do you just one every day? Do you one every week? Like, what do you think?
I mean, I don't have that kind of channel. Like, yours is more following the news kind of thing. I would say strike while the iron's hot, you know, if Model Y is launching and everybody's talking about it and you have 5 videos. Put them out there, you know. Why leave one sitting out there dangling by the time that the news cycle has moved on to something else, you know?
Yeah, I know. Marquez did that recently with some of these flip phones or some of these new things coming out, and where he published literally 2 videos, like full on reviews, like a full review video, which is kind of a bigger deal than just first impressions.
Sure.
Minutes after each other, and then I was reminded by some of my other YouTuber friends that Marquez lives on a different planet than the rest of us.
Exactly. So, he can do that.
You know, he gets to do what he wants to do. So don't try to see that and go, oh, I should do that. No, no. You shouldn't.
I mean, I would probably not put them all out on one day. I would probably do it one day at a time or something. But
Yeah. So Model Y sprint coming up.
Cool.
And I still don't know when I'm getting mine. Haven't heard anything. I even asked Tesla. They're like, we're being tight-lipped about this one. It's like, come on, man. Where's my, who is it? Who's that, Shannon Sharp? Or, I forget.
Who's she?
Shannon Sharp?
Okay.
Oh, my God. Fired. You were fired from sports.
Oh, I was fired from sports years ago. They don't even let me around it anymore.
Well, I guess I won't see you at the St. Patrick's Day party next
week. Nope.
We should just go have our own, you know? Just go get drunk at a bar. Let's just do that.
Just drink at home, man. Now, how come people aren't stocking up on alcohol before all this?
Right?
Because if you're going to be hanging out at home and can't go anywhere, drinking is a good option.
And you have to put up with your family? Come on.
Drink more,
kids. What is alcohol good for? Yeah, that's right.
Plus, it sterilizes everything. It'll sterilize your gut.
That's right. Well, I think we did it. Hopefully next week.
Bit of a shorter one this time. That's all right.
Returns. And until then, we'll see you in our
ludicrous future. Hey, thanks so much for listening. If you like what we do and you want to kind of help get it out there, you can give us a nice review on any of your podcast streaming platforms, whichever one you use. That kind of helps get it out there. Also, we do have a Patreon set up, so you can join us there at patreon.com/ourludicrousfuture. You can get your name in the credits, meet a whole other group of like-minded people. It's a lot of fun. We do appreciate it. We'll see you there.